Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Central Baptist Church. Last week, we had a power outage, and this week, Zoom is not allowing me to let anybody into our live recording, so I am going to be doing this myself and posting it on Facebook at 10. Doesn't seem like we are allowed to settle into any kind of routine while we're in quarantine. There's something new every week, but we are still able to learn together and worship God together. And so let us quiet our hearts and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you that you are God of all. And no matter what is happening in the world around us, in our technology, in our relationships, in our nation, in the world, you are God. And we are here humbly before you to hear from you and to speak to you and to worship you in our hearts and in our lives. We pray that you will help us to do that. And with that in mind, we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we have a few announcements today, and I'm going to start with the one that seems the most relevant. Tomorrow, Governor Baker of Massachusetts is supposed to give us a statement on what the plans are for reopening, phases, etc. Regardless of what he says, we are calling a church meeting. It is strictly voluntary. Our church moderator and our chair of deacons and I will be at it, and anyone else who would like to be part of that discussion is welcome to join us. We're going to hope there's a working Zoom link by then. That will be posted later, but this is going to be really important, obviously, if our technology is causing problems. We're going to have to figure out something. No matter what the governor is stating, we are going to try to be respectful of our government leaders and do what they say, but we're also going to need to be, no matter what, we're going to need to be creative. So you are welcome to join us. We hope that you will. Other than that, similar things going on this week to the last few weeks. Morning quiet on Tuesday at 9 here, hopefully. Prayer on the spot on Thursday at 2 on Facebook Live. That is on Ron Cherniski's page. It frequently gets shared to other members' pages. And you're welcome to join us and ask for prayer. You can also, if you need to do that ahead of time, you can't join us right at 2, and you would like to send us a prayer request to pray for during that time, you can send a message to the Central Baptist Church, Southbridge, Massachusetts Facebook page. And we'd be happy to pray for that for you. On Friday, we have our every other week kind of youth group meeting for an hour at 10 a.m. The group has agreed that we're going to read Genesis 1 through 11 by this Friday, and then we'll just talk about it and see where the conversation takes us. So if you are a youth between the ages of 10-ish and 18-ish, you're welcome to join us. There's a separate Zoom link for that. So if you want to join and you haven't before, please message me or message our church and we'll let you know what that link is. After services today, there is supposed to be a fellowship time at 11:30 here on Zoom. In between this service and that time, my husband Paul and I will try to get the Zoom link working. If we are not able to do that, then unfortunately we won't be able to have our fellowship this week, but we will do our best, and we'll keep posting Facebook so people know what's happening. As always, we continue to rely on your tithes and offerings to help us to continue to operate during this time, and it's a part of your worship to God. So as you prepare to give, we ask that you will do that with a glad heart, as the Bible tells us to. You can write a check to Central Baptist Church and send it to P.O. Box 886, Southbridge, Massachusetts, 01550. Or you can donate online at www.cbcsouthbridge.org. Thank you. Today's scripture reading, which I couldn't Zoom our Deacon of the Month in to read, is from John chapter 10 again. We read from the same passage last week, and this is some overlap and then some parts that we left out last week so that we could read them this week. So it's John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16, and then verses 24 to 30. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So if he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And now verses 24 to 30. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. You are the good shepherd, and we want to listen to your voice. It actually doesn't come that automatically for us, and so we pray that you will help us to hear you today. I pray that you will help me to speak clearly today and speak your words, not my own. I pray that you will help us to follow you wherever you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. So the great irony of our Zoom call not working this morning is that I was actually going to unmute everybody who was here and let you participate with me in a little word association game. Now I can't do that. So you're gonna have to all type in your word associations in the Facebook watch party comments so that we can actually do this. So here's the word. What words do you think of, or what concepts or what ideas do you think of when I say the word gate? I'm just gonna give you a couple seconds. This is weird and awkward, but I'm gonna let you think of some things. Go ahead and put those things in the comments. Gate. So there could be any number of associations with the word gate or the word door, these kind of entry places. So entry is actually one thing. It could be going in, could be going out. It could, a gate could keep somebody in or keep somebody out, right? A gate could be an avenue to a new opportunity. A gate could symbolize freedom or it could symbolize restriction. There are also additional things that we might think about now while we've been on lockdown. Gate may have a whole other layer of associations for us, right? So in John 10, which we did read last week, and hopefully you recognized some of that, we are back there, and actually this sermon is sort of part two of last week's sermon. It's kind of one sermon that is all together. And last week we looked at Jesus' self-identifying statement, "I am the good shepherd." Within his teachings about his identity as the ideal king of the Jews, the promised Messiah, his oneness with God, his Father, he sneaked in another "I am" statement. And actually, he didn't really sneak it in. He said this one first. If you remember, he was talking to the Pharisees who had been kind of evicting the man who had been born blind. They were persecuting him. They were driving him out of their faith community. And he's already said, "I am the light of the world." And before he says, "I'm the good shepherd," he starts talking about shepherds in general and sheep and gates. In verses 1-2, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." And when the Pharisees don't understand what he's talking about, eventually he identifies himself as the shepherd, but first he identifies himself as the gate. In verse 7, he says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." And in verse 9, he says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved," or will be kept safe. "They will come in and go out and find pasture." So what did Jesus mean by the gate? We have all these associations with that word ourselves. What were Jesus's associations? Last week we talked about shepherd first, even though it comes second in this passage, because it's easier to wrap our minds around Jesus, a person, being a shepherd, a person. And so it gives us an easier starting point, or maybe it just gave me an easier starting point to talk about. But Jesus is telling us something else important about himself by comparing himself to a gate. So a lot of Bible teachers and theologians and writers will, including N.T. Wright, actually, like the idea that not only did Middle Eastern shepherds lead their sheep instead of driving their sheep, we talked about that last week, but they would also sleep in the doorway of the sheepfold. So the sheepfold was this big stone structure with high walls and a gate, and the shepherd, I guess, would sleep there. And so this image actually gives us a really good kind of an easy association with Jesus representing the shepherd and the gate, because in that context he is the shepherd and he is the gate, right? He is lying right in the entryway. And it also picks up what he asserts repeatedly in this chapter, which is that he lays down his life for the sheep. If something or someone were going to try to get at the sheep through the gate, they would have to get through him first. This is a beautiful picture of the self-sacrificial nature of the Good Shepherd, which we looked at last week. But I actually think that Jesus is trying to communicate something additional about himself with the gate metaphor, rather than finding another way to restate the same thing that he's saying about himself as a shepherd. I think there's like two things about himself that he's trying to communicate in this really tight moment of metaphors. The gate adds to our understanding of who Jesus is, rather than simply reinforcing it. So, what is the nature of a gate? One thing a gate is it is a legitimate, appropriate, single point of entry. So in this case, any other person trying to come into the sheepfold by any means other than the gate is a threat to the well-being of the sheep. And Jesus starts out this whole analogy that way in verse 1. In Jesus' parable, there's a gatekeeper. That's not the shepherd. But he knows the shepherd, and he's on the alert for the shepherd and for the shepherd's sheep. He is invested in the well-being of the sheep. He's not caring for them, but he is the one that opens and closes the gate. Only for the shepherd and his sheep. Another thing about a gate, in this case especially, is that it is the way to freedom and to security for the sheep. In our society and in our political climate, safety and freedom are usually mutually exclusive. We think about them that way and we kind of approach them that way, and our politics definitely approaches them that way. And so if you want to be safe, if that's your highest value, you want to make sure the government can monitor threats against you and the people you care about and your property, even if that means that maybe some of your freedoms will have to be restricted. If freedom is your highest value, you have to allow for the freedom of everybody else, even if, or including, people who may want to harm you. This is different from the kind of gate that Jesus is. In verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full." A full life, both free and protected. Jesus, the gate, provides the only access to true freedom and true safety. In verses 3 and 5, he says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." So sheep are not designed to spend their entire lives in a pen, some modern farming practices notwithstanding. If they were intended to spend their entire lives in a pen, then the shepherd might as well just block in the entryway and like hang out on top of the gate, I guess, or on top of the wall. I don't know. They could just live there and they wouldn't have to go in and out. There wouldn't need to be a gate, right? One reason for the gate is so that the sheep can get out into the world where they can be fed, where they can learn and grow, where they can experience freedom and the good world that God has created, all under the care of and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. The gate also provides safe and appropriate access to freedom for the sheep. It keeps them from being scattered. They all go out the same way, and it keeps them going out or coming in only with the shepherd, so they don't get lost, so that they, in their freedom, are protected. He leads them all out and all back in at the same time. The gate does not curtail their freedom. The shepherd doesn't keep them on a leash. He leads them out, and then they're out, and they are free. They are free to roam, and they are free to follow the shepherd trustingly. They know his voice, and they know that voice belongs to the one who provides for them and keeps them safe. And they are safe with the shepherd outside the gate, but also in verses 8 and 9, he says, "Very truly I tell you," 7 and 9, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." This can also be translated, "will be safe" or "will be kept safe." The sheepfold is a place of safety to protect the sheep from the wild animals and the thieves and the robbers who would try to pick them off at night. The only way to get to that place of safety is to enter into the gate. Jesus is that gate. At the end of verse 9, he says, "They will come in and go out and find pasture." The gate is not to restrict them. The gate is their only way to get to both freedom and safety. Jesus is the only way out to true freedom, and Jesus is the only way in to true safety. Here's another aspect of the gate that I think most of us, I certainly didn't think of this, most of us don't think of. A gate sort of determines your status, not in a value judgment kind of way, but well, let me explain. N.T. Wright actually did not give us an Old Testament callback in for this metaphor, and so I had to look up gate significance in the Old Testament myself. And when I did that, I was reminded in a couple of different articles, but also one by Mike Rogoff in Haaretz Israel News, that in the context of cities, not sheepfolds, but cities, gates in biblical Israel weren't just a doorway into the city. They were where prophets cried out and kings judged and people met. So usually the city would have, it was kind of a double set of gates. There was the outer gates, and then there was like a passageway, and then there was the inner gates before you could actually get into the city. The cities were walled, and this gate would let you in, and there was this middle place where people would hang out and accomplish these things. It was a place where life happened, where negotiations were made, where justice was determined or at least advocated for. And it was kind of a place of transparency. Everyone could see what was going on at the gate. It was a little harder to have fake news back then because all this important stuff was happening right in the public at the gate. So in the conversation in the chapter before this, in chapter 9, which we've looked at a few times already, we've already seen that Jesus identified himself as the light of the world, and that was understood by the people around him as meaning he was the one who would light everything up, showing the truth and also exposing those who would be drawn to the truth and those who would prefer to scurry back into the darkness. So in fact, switching from that topic of light to this topic, talking about sheep and the good shepherd, actually makes a lot of logical sense, because the segue that he uses between the light metaphor and the shepherd metaphor is the gate. Even the gate to a sheepfold performs something of a judicial, discerning, determining function. It shows who the real shepherd is and who the real sheep are. The shepherd is the one human allowed through the gate. The gatekeeper knows him and lets him in with his sheep and out with his sheep. If any other human gets in there, it means they broke in because they're not getting through the gate. And they don't have the right to be there because they don't have the best interest of the sheep at heart like the shepherd does. The only sheep coming in through the gate are the shepherd's own sheep. And the only requirement to being one of his sheep is to hear and follow his voice. Verse 16 is really interesting because Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So this maybe sounds a little sketchy to our contemporary ears. What is Jesus doing taking other people's sheep? So you have to remember that, as we talked about last week, according to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, there is only one good shepherd at all in the world, for the world, and that is God. According to Jesus, there is only one good shepherd at all in the world and for the world, and that is himself. And as he says repeatedly in this chapter, he and the Father are one, the Father being God. Jesus is not acting like a thief or a robber or even a hired hand when he's talking about these other sheep from other sheep pens. He's not sneaking into someone else's sheepfold and stealing their sheep. He recognizes, though, that there are other sheep, so-called, other people from non-Jewish backgrounds, different ethnicities, even different faiths, who will hear his voice and understand that he is the true shepherd, the good shepherd. They will know his voice and they will follow his voice. He's not going to kick them out of his own sheep pen if they come to it. If they show up at his sheepfold, they know his voice. If they know his voice, he knows them, and they are actually his sheep, even if they didn't originate in the sheepfold of the Jewish people of God, who he's talking to right now. The only sheep going out through the gate are also the shepherd's own sheep. In spite of all this talk of thieves and robbers coming in to steal and kill and destroy, they cannot ultimately succeed in their aim because against the true sheep of the good shepherd, because he is the gate who keeps them free and safe. In verses 28 and 29, he says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. No one will, and no one can snatch the good shepherd's sheep out of his hand." But there are some sheep who do not belong to the good shepherd. The determining factor in this is not ethnicity or any other background identifier. You could grow up Jewish or you could grow up Christian. That alone does not make you the good shepherd's sheep. You can grow up in some other religious background or no religious background, and that alone does not prevent you from hearing the voice of the good shepherd. The determining factor is not how good of a person you are. And the determining factor is not some arbitrary shepherd who randomly decides to dislike and kick out some of the sheep and pick some other ones. The determining factor is the gate. Jesus said to the people questioning him in the temple at Hanukkah, "The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." A few weeks ago, we read that Jesus told the crowds that the work of God was to believe in Jesus, and that belief is active. In this metaphor, it translates to knowing the good shepherd's voice and following only him in and out of the gate. The only way we could not be his sheep is if we refuse to follow him through the gate. If we refuse to follow him into the safety of his sheepfold, or if we refuse to follow him out into the full and overflowing life of real freedom that he laid down his life to give us. Jesus is and offers the bread of life to everyone, but not everyone will eat it. Not everyone will take his life into themselves. Jesus is and shines the light of the world on everyone, but some will decide to scuttle back into the darkness. Jesus is the gate and the good shepherd, and he calls out to everyone, but not everyone will follow him in and out and find pasture. Now, there could be some people who say, "Well, that's nice. I am not a sheep. I don't care. I'm not going to follow this. I don't believe what you're saying." And that is a choice. Last week, we also talked about people who love the good shepherd, who want to be the good shepherd's sheep, but maybe don't feel certain that they always hear his voice. And we talked about that a little bit. And if you missed that, please go listen to that sermon, because that's kind of where my heart is. But you might be a person who does not think that you have heard the good shepherd's voice or chosen to follow the good shepherd in and out of the gate, which is Jesus. And you're feeling a little worried about that. So I want to talk to you. There is hope. If you're saying something like, "What if I'm just not his sheep? What if I can't hear his voice?" The story isn't over. Your story isn't over. The people that Jesus was talking to who said, "Show us," and he said, "You're not my sheep because you don't believe," that was at that moment. They may have believed later. They may have followed him later. If you're asking this question, if you're feeling kind of worried about this, chances are really good that you are hearing his voice calling you. So keep listening. Keep looking. Look for the shepherd as he is looking for you. And also, please talk to us. we're really accessible. We are also only sheep. We don't follow the Good Shepherd perfectly. We don't always hear his voice exactly what he's saying. We're learning every day to hear his voice better, to listen and follow better, and learning what it means to be part of his flock. Because to be honest, none of us started out as part of his flock. We all had to listen to his voice and follow him through the gate. And we would love to talk to you about him. Because when we eat the bread of life, live in the light of the world, listen to the voice of our good shepherd, and follow him in and out of the gate, we are his, and we are free, and we are safe. And we want everyone, all of us, to be following him in and out of the gate. Because then no one will and no one can snatch us out of his hand. Let's pray. Good Shepherd and Gate for the Sheep, we are so grateful that you are the one who sets us free and you are the one who keeps us safe. We want to live in that security and we want to live in that true freedom, which doesn't fight for our own rights or look out for our own interests, but for the interests of others as you lay down your life for us. We want to be like you. In your name, amen. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a reminder that if you would like to worship with us by offering tithes and offerings to support the work of this church, you can send them to Central Baptist Church, P.O. Box 886, Southbridge, Massachusetts, 01550, or online at www.cbcsouthbridge.org. Thank you.